Welcome to the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I got Phil Walthall here on my right and James Uetzler on the left, way out left. And good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, what has hit you today, James? What have you gotten so far? What is...
Well, there's a couple things. Steve was talking about agendas and whether we're after our own agenda or after our Lord's, after the Lord's agenda. He used the example of Dog River when he was running Dog River. And every day he had an agenda. And it seemed as if every day he never got it completed.
Right.
And when the Lord showed him that he was done with Dog River, he thought he had completed nothing. And, you know, it just shows where if we're not lined up with the Lord's agenda, what we think we're supposed to be doing isn't always what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, I know I fall into that.
And it is supposed to be, we're part of his agenda, not he suits himself to our agenda.
And we don't have, like, the Lord doesn't have a plan for me or you or any of us. He has a plan, and we're to partake in that plan, his agenda. Or I guess his plan is, you know what I mean, is the agenda that we're supposed to partake in.
The last thing I heard him say was something about the, you know, why would you expect to be in a place where you get any good thing from the Lord when you're not handling your responsibility to bring the word to your family, and you're not revealing the goodness and the character of the Father to them. If you're not taking care of the first business, why would you expect anything else? And that's so true. He's got a thing, and if you're not doing it, all you can expect is correction.
Yeah,
and if you don't receive that correction, then it can stink to be you.
I mean, once somebody accepts the Lord, it's you know, it turns to serving the Lord. And if we're not, we're not partaking in his agenda or his plan, you know. So, I mean, it really, are we serving the Lord or are we serving ourselves?
That is why those who are put above us are there. They're to guide us through that. They help us to establish whether we're serving the Lord or there's a song that put it so well. It said, you think God is just an errand boy to satisfy your wandering desires? that was the truth. But so much of what passes today as Christianity and the church, they all sound like they think God's a slot machine, and if they pull the arm right, then they're going to get a big payout. It doesn't work that way. So talk to us, Phil. What has stood out for you this day?
Well, some of the things y'all sharing, I didn't hear Steve outside talking with folks. But one of the things you're talking about is the ministry to the family, which you brought up. I guess he brought up as well. ministry to the family. And I know that, you know, being your first responsibility. And I know, as for me, it's going about is, you know, it's a constant, I constantly lift up my family as us coming together as a unit for Him. And I know that my responsibilities to my wife and my children and my family is like one of the first things that is one of the first things that, let me put it this way, I lift up in prayer or even to engage in, because I know anything outside that, without doing that, for me first is when those things are, when I'm about doing that, is the things what carries me through to do anything else that I gotten engaged in. If I'm missing that part, if I'm not doing that part, I know that it seems like nothing else outside.
That's a place where you start,
right?
The, where you start with the whatsoever you do is unto the Lord, and you actually find joy in that.
Absolutely,
it's like where Jesus says in John 13 says, "You know, I've washed these feet to show you how it's done, and you know, a servant is not greater than the master," and He says further down in John 13, "Happy are ye when you so do." When you can come to the place in a thing where you have resolved to seek the Lord's agenda and you pursue it and you understand that Jesus told His disciples, "You seek to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, to be the servant of all." That's really that ministering to them and showing them the Father is serving them. It's ministering and serving life unto them, the ability to have the truth revealed to them. To have opportunity to receive the truth is the greatest thing in the world. And it was the Lord's plan. That's the Lord's agenda. To have people receive Him. Okay, I guess we're done.
But no, I mean, that's where... I know if not doing that first part, it seems like nothing else outside that works. Because that, to me, is my first responsibility there. Well, first to the Lord. And it being to the Lord is unto them, right there in my own four walls there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's easy for me, I know, that is that they kind of can get overwhelmed the amount of hours that I have going on at work and such and all these things. But you know, I just, all I can do is lift these things up to the Lord and go forward in those things that He has me to do. Now going, and it's amazing, and where I'm getting at it with this, it's amazing that even though I got all these hours at work and all these things to work, the Lord's, there's still always time. There's always time for them to be doing that first part. If that makes any sense. It's always provided. Hmm. And it could be whatever we do. I mean, one, I know me and my wife has been painting a lot. Then you know what? That has been a ministry for both of us and for our relationship and our relationship with the Lord together. You know, the times that I have in the afternoon, I spend with the family to do Bible study and to spend a little bit of time, or even having my kids come and help us do some of these things. That is a ministry to them, and for them to learn obedience and these kinds of things. And the Lord, no matter what it is, when you're talking about whatsoever you do hardly as unto the Lord. The Lord makes that way, and whatsoever you're doing, can be a service, used to minister unto them. Whether it paint the walls, or we're going out to the park for the day, or we're going, you know, to go spend time with others, whatever the case may be. Right. It's a, you, where you look at is, Lord, how can, you know, Lord, use me in this situation, however I can be used to minister unto others in this situation, whatever it is.
Yep.
But it's amazing that, you know, I can get bound up in these things. I get bound up in hours of work. I can get overwhelmed. I can get this, but, you know, that's where I cast, that's a fear. That's where I cast that thing off. And when I cast those things off, what happens is opportunity. It's opportunity. And the time is manifest for me to have the time to do the things that the Lord has me to do. And the responsibilities that I have. Because it's easy for me in the carnal to step back and look and say, how do I have time to do any of this? The Lord's bigger than that. And if I'm seeking to please Him, it's all around me. Opportunity is all around me.
I had a guy one time that he was kind of a thorn in my flesh.
Except talking about me?
He was trying to minister to me truth, and the truth of the matter was that I was selfish and wasn't really attending to the needs of others at all. So he would say, so you said you were going to do such and such. How's that going? I said, well, I haven't really had time because, look, the Lord's put enough hours in the day for you to be able to do what He has you do. And it's never acceptable that I didn't have time.
Yeah.
But Lord, I just didn't have time. That's not satisfactory. No justification in that.
I mean, and you saying that there, right there, is one then, okay, what are the other things you're taking up your time with? Are those of the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the question. Well, shoot, if these are the things that the Lord has me to do, and I'm not doing them because I think I don't have time, okay, then what is it that I am using the time that is not what He has for me to do?
Yeah, this is the pursuit that's a good thing to find out. There again. Pardon me, that's one of the reasons why we have other people who have been this route before.
Or that you might be going down that route yourself. Do you learn these things so you can show another person?
Yeah. Yeah.
And share with another person so that they may be able to free and do that which the Lord would have them to do, because then that's what we minister to.
That's one of those things that...
It's to edify one another to doing His thing.
As you get built up in the faith, and you end up understanding what to do by reason of use, as Hebrews was, it's experience. And when you've been... by experience have learned what is or is not, it might have been a good experience or a bad experience. You might either learn how not to do it,
right,
or how to do it specifically in a positive sense. That's something you pass on.
Right, and exactly. And whether it was an error and you learned, oh man, that was an error and that's why this, it's something you can pass on. Whether it was, oh, this worked, or, you know, this was the way to go about it, and you learned it by that way, it's still an experience you learn to pass on. Both are experience that you can pass on. And what, I mean, once again, that's a yay and amen. I mean, once again, that's an awesome thing. If that makes any sense at all, you know, you turn to the Lord, it's yay and yay. Yes and amen. It's an awesome thing.
Every time I'm come back to Colossians. The Colossians is just, I start to slow down when I'm, you know, flipping through the Bible and I come across Colossians. I always slow down there. It's such a good book. One of those prayers that we ought to be uplifting one another with is there, as is in Ephesians. But it's like, you know, I pointed out earlier today, who couldn't use, as I'm sitting here looking in the wrong book, who couldn't use a prayer that we be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Pleasing who? Pleasing Him. There ain't no other pleasing that works. It certainly isn't pleasing yourself.
Or even pleasing others. I mean, what the thing is, you want to be a blessing to others?
Blessing to others and pleasing to the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That should describe us to a T. Unfortunately, we have varying degrees of success. Rather than looking like we're all the same, molded after Jesus, we're in different places traipsing through this experience. Everybody isn't always all at the same place. But, you know, that's a good prayer to be praying for somebody else, especially if you know they've been struggling with something. That's a heck of a payoff. Filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, successful at pleasing Him. That's the only thing that matters. Because the stuff that pleases Him is when you utilize, improve your faith by showing Him to other people. By showing them the gospel. Where James says, you know, you say you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. I show you I believe because I'm a doer of the word. It's not it's plain and simple. If the word richly dwells in you, then you're going to at least have the capability, whether you have the faith or not, I don't know, but you have the capability of pleasing the Lord and showing your belief by how you live with that word, how you deal with your family, or don't, or deal with your work, or don't, deal with other people, or don't, where you are with that relationship with the Lord's going to show. And it's showing whether you agree with what James says there or not. It's something you can't help but show. So, you know. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In light. That's exactly what we ought to want for one another. That's all still part of the prayer that Paul's praying for Colossians here. He says he ceases not to pray for them in this manner. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And it's victory. Victory over the evil one and the darkness that is his kingdom. The world is his kingdom. I mean, when he told Jesus when he was being tempted after 40 days, hey, you can have this all these kingdoms, all they can be yours. How can he do that? Because they're his. You know. But out of that darkness and translated in the kingdom of his dear son, you get translated into the kingdom of his dear son, then it's his kingdom. It's not devils, not enemies. And all the rules change. That's when the power of the gospel is manifest in low-life scumbags like us. It's a good thing. It's a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. And that's a really good prayer. It keeps going. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He just keeps on talking about who Jesus is and what kind of character he is and what he's done for us. How the gospel works. How we have something to offer other people to the degree that we know him. We have something to deliver that other people need. Not because of us, but because he's good. And his gospel is true. It's also interesting that in... when we come back to the other side of this book, that's when he... One of the things he says is whatsoever you put your hand to do is unto the Lord. So after he said all this stuff, that's still where it goes. It's like that is the only attitude to have when your only desire is to please the Lord. And everything you do is unto the Lord. Heartily. As unto the Lord. And I know that, you know, my prayer for everybody in this ministry is that this operation works in them, that they get the full assurance of full knowledge, all in all wisdom, just because we all need that. And we can impart the same to those that we come around. The more we get, the more we have to impart. That's a good thing. That's doing his thing. And it's what we're supposed to be about doing. We're supposed to be about his thing, right?
Amen.
And he... is... all about showing that his word is true, that he is faithful, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That's part of that patience. That's part of that, what that meaning of patience is. We rely on him because he is faithful. He is long-suffering. He is good. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's what love looks like. He died in our place on the cross. You know, seeing that we have so great a high priest. He ought to be considerate of the of the manner that in which he walked, that Jesus said, that John says, if you say you abide in him, you ought to walk also as he walked. Everything he did is a pattern for us. And the instructions of the disciples that he handed down to them, to us, are the doing of them, if you'll have the right attitude. And like John 13 says, happy are you when you do. So, I want to be that place where I'm pleased to do the Father's will. Where nothing pleases me more. I want to have knowledge increasing and wisdom and the discernment that that everybody needs to operate in this kingdom. I need the my trust in him to manifest it by the power manifesting itself, the power not just to raise Jesus from the dead, but to raise me from the dead unto eternal life. That's a good thing. That is the only entrance in. I can sing or I can dance or something here, but what do you think? James?
Well, Paul, you're absolutely right. You know, increasing in the knowledge of God in verse 10, I mean, that's something that we all need to do. And we do that by reading his word and then going out and doing what his word says. And the more we learn and the more knowledge we have of the Lord, the purer the gospel we bring is. And that's important. We want to bring solely his gospel, not our own.
Well, the more knowledge we have of him, the more we're able to reveal him to other people. And there's no other knowledge that's near as profitable. I mean, you can pursue other knowledge, but it doesn't mean it's going to be near as profitable. It has rewards here and now as well as in the life to come. I believe that's something similar to that is what is Paul tell Timothy, something like that?
Well, I mean, the only thing I can think of is the bodily exercise profits little.
But, yeah.
Godly exercise is profit with all.
Yeah. Yeah. See there?
But you're using, you know, I mean, in that sense, is, yeah, you're using the knowledge. I mean it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of sidetracked, kind of lights up in my mind. This is where, you know, Steve didn't study for his bar exam, but what he did study was the Word of God during that time. That's what the Lord had him to do. But when he went and took the bar exam, which was just an earthly knowledge in the law there, that really was for use for him later on, of course. I mean, the Lord uses that now, don't hear me wrong. But it's not going to matter when the life is over, that knowledge of that, you know, whatever, the bar exam. But he studied that Word of God. Which is what the Lord had him to do at that time. But we went to go turn the bar exam. He didn't study for that, but he passed it flying colors. It's about his.
And that exam had essays on laws that were Vermont laws. But she had no idea what they were, really.
Yeah, because he went to, what was it, New York, was he at?
Yeah, you know, this Act 250 was something he may have heard on the news. Do you know what I mean? Might be the most knowledge he had of it, and he had to write an essay on it.
But you just see how much more profitable
Yeah, there's, I suspect the origin of it is the military, but there's a phrase that is used that I heard coming up, and that was, you baffle them with BS. As long as you can pontificate and make a good case, then that's all that counts. Doesn't really matter whether you know the law or not.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
Well, I took, as I was studying for wastewater licensing, the first two levels, the testing was objective in nature and multiple choice and fill in the blanks and that kind of thing. But when it come to the top two levels, you'd have a 60-page exam that, you know, you'd have an entire page where the question is, so discuss the treatment plant in section 4. Is it running according to good operation, or is it not? And explain your answer. So, you know, if as long as you can make a case, you get credit for the answer. There isn't a wrong answer, except for no answer. And if you can make a case, whether it's running fine or if it's not running fine, as long as you can make the case, you get credit for answering the question. But what it really is your ability to show what you know, and even if, and I watched a guy do this once, you could present both sides and convince somebody with either presentation that you're right. But I know people aren't like that, but I mean, the people who are grading the exam, that relativity is not the way life works. It's just not the way life works. But if you could baffle them with enough reasoning, you get credit for the answer. I'd never seen anybody get no credit. If you put some writing down there, you got some credit for it. But that would be, those questions would be 80% of the test. And 40 of the 60 pages.
You know, kind of going back to the, kind of going back to where you were talking about getting in the Word and then going out and doing it.
Yeah.
What you were talking about there, James. And, you know, one of the what is the better way of knowing the Lord or knowing His way than actually going and experiencing it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can read about the faith of Abraham. Let's go experience the faith of Abraham. We can read about the children of Israel and Joshua and them coming together as a perfect man and going and taking the promised land. You know what? Let's go experience that faith in Christ Jesus. You know, let's go experience. And that's the opportunity that we have before us. What better way of coming to the knowledge? You know, I mean, I was just sharing this morning kind of about some of the, even some of the hard times at work and some of the rough times. And so I failed a lot at work and making the wrong decisions and falling into unbelief in certain circumstances and have some trialing things there at work. But what I've gained through that work place was, you know, I put faith and trust back in the Lord. Faith and trust back in the Lord. I kept choosing the Lord through the midst of these things. and through just the trialing areas of learning some things. Sometimes there were just tough lessons. Oh man, they were just tough. Tough, humbling lessons that where I've made the things.
The Lord's at hand. Utilize Him. He's there.
Right. But I mean, going back, just going through some of those tough times of just failing, all out failing of how to handle the customer, failing of handling the situation with the problem with the vehicle, failing, utterly just failing. And so many, or with dealing with somebody, or whatever the case may be. What I grew there was, though, was an experience. What I grew there was a knowledge of how to handle that better next time. Or when somebody else came across the same problem, I had a knowledge. Right. I had an experience of how to go forward into that thing.
You increased in value to Gerald's because your experience teaches you how to handle it.
Yeah. But that's the same. You know, I use that just as kind of an example of when we go step out in faith, which, you know, going to work is a stepping out in faith for me, I have to say. I mean, it just is. But in anything that we do, whether that may be at home or these things, is one that you can have the, you have the opportunity to experience, start doing that word, as you were saying, James, and getting an experience and a knowledge of Him and a knowledge of His goodness, His grace, how He is bigger than anything, and His faithfulness.
Yeah, faith isn't any good unless you've tried to use it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you were talking about James earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, without faith, without, help me out here, without,
Your faith without works, I'll show you my work, my faith by my works.
Right.
That's a real succinct way of explaining it. His position is that the faith without any demonstration is worthless. The devils believe and tremble. You want to separate yourself from them, you got to show you believe. Preach the gospel and sometimes use words. The demonstration is a lot more impactful than the verbal testimony, especially when everything around you says that your life isn't backing up your testimony.
I think we could take a glimpse out of any of our lives and see that's been the case before.
Yes.
At a certain time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of day. Or a certain situation that you had. But praise be to God, it's one, it's not about you, it's about Him.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, what you got? So what that you struggled? So what that you have failed. So what, all these things? Where are you now? Have you practiced faith in His name where He has overcame? Then if that's where you're at, then praise be to God and you have a testimony.
That's right.
You know, that What's the opportunity? I mean, what is our testimony? Our testimony is one of, we made a mess of things, but God was bigger than that.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, our testimony is one of just where God triumphed in our heart. By the power of His gospel, He triumphed in this situation and in our life. Turn that which was headed to destruction to that which is heading to life and life everlasting.
You turns Paul from somebody who was diligently extinguishing Christians to someone who was diligently pursuing the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then what gets magnified? His goodness. What gets magnified? His love. What gets magnified? Mm. And what all that says is, if he can partake of it, and he's that much of a scumbag, of saying, referring to myself here, that means the next person, that means I can partake of it.
Yeah.
And be a part of it, too.
And
it's an interesting thing what you got, you know, Paul says he uses the base things to confound the wise.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive to say, I glory in tribulation. Well, the tribulation is an opportunity to show, for God to show how he's going to show up. And show how good he is. And the more you go through that, the more you learn his faithfulness. And you learn it's not about you. It's about how he's faithful to do what he says he's going to do.
Amen.
That when he says, when Paul says the Lord is at hand, that means he's right there. There is absolutely no excuse for you to go on acting like he's forsaken you or he's not paying attention to you today. He's right there. All you got to do, if you're not connected with him at the moment, is connect with him. Well, Lord, I've been wrong. And that's an act of humility and an act of faith. And if that reconnects you, he's right there. Stick your hand out and get him. And don't let go again.
Or, the other thing is, where am I off? Where am I off? I mean, if something going astray, something going, simply, where am I off?
Paul, that joy comes by faith. Because if you don't have faith in the Lord to overcome the circumstance, you can't have joy in it. But when you know that the Lord is bigger than it and able to overcome all of it, there's joy in the in knowing that he is faithful. I hope that makes sense.
Well, it's like there's happiness in doing the word of God. It's doing the will of God. It's there's happiness there. Jesus said, happy are you when you do these things. If I'm not happy, whose fault is that? That's mine. It's not his.
Well, and the point that I was talking about is you see things falling apart around you in the sense of, let's say at home. We were talking about your first.
I know how I'm wrong. I'm wrong because I got out of bed this morning and I get out of bed wrong.
No, let me finish here. Everything's a wreck around you. Home life, you're all this thing like.
Yeah.
And you can continue on going in presumption. Oh, it's just the way it is. The way it is. How about humble yourself and go, Lord, where am I off?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I wrong? You're talking about that humbling business part. Where am I off? Where am I wrong? What direction am I taking? That is not of you. Where am I straight off?
And he'll show you.
Yeah, and he'll show you. Whether it be 9 times out of 10 through a minister, whether it just be in a glimpse he shows you himself, or the Spirit reveals to you, whatever the case may be. But
show you in the Word.
Show you in the Word.
All kinds of methods. He's not limited.
No. But I wanted to bring that around too, because there's that.
But he is faithful.
That. Oh, absolutely.
And there's no need to stay wrong.
Nope. And that's where you get, that's where some of that, it's where you see these things that you're wrong in, and then it's a place of where it's good for you to see them. That way you can, what, repent and turn from them. Been going down the wrong path, you can repent and turn from that wrong path.
And some of that is...
And you want that to change. You don't want to be out. You want it to be as far from you as possible.
Increasing in the knowledge of God, that's what some of that's going to look like.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not happening and he's not faithful to answer this prayer of Paul's. It's a prayer that if, you know, people pray that for themselves and for other people. That's the Lord to move on that, man. He's good. And you step out in faith, that pleases him. And it shows as well.
Make that choice to believe.
It's a...
And by action. I mean, an example. An example of just... really not want to engage in a thing, but it's the thing that the Lord has you engage in. Well, that would be a sacrifice too, but you step out in faith anyway, and you believe that he's going to meet you there. You got... It happens really, all the time.
That's funny, you know, you sit there... I had enough experience as a kid to see all these real pious people in their robes and stuff doing the... you know, exercise of the elements of the faith, where they're all this ritual and formality and all that stuff. And, you know, Jesus comes along into the Pharisee structure like that and basically tells them, you know, in a little Paul Muller paraphrase, he says, this stuff's all worthless, man. Y'all are straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. This is not what this was meant to be. This was meant to be something to show you you need me.
Absolutely. And this part of stepping out in faith, it's very simple. God said do it, believe him, and go do it. That's what it comes down to, is it not? God puts you in front of a thing to do, and stepping out in faith is believing him for that and stepping out and doing it. Knowing that in your own self you can't. Knowing that in your own strength you can't. Knowing in any of these things you can't. By nature. But he's bigger than that. That's a stepping out in faith.
You have a gospel that has been the same since the Garden of Eden. And we as men latch on to the absolute wrong thing. We want a king, so he gives us. We need a judge, so he gives us a judge. We need a king, so like you beat like other nations, so he gives us kings. And we latch on to the law. The law was never meant to be a deliverance, right?
It was a schoolmaster.
Y'all latched on and set up all this religious structure based around a law that can't deliver you. Meanwhile, the grace of the garden has been with us ever since the garden, and you as men latched on to that which you can quantify and justify by something that's written down as a list of do's and don'ts. That can't save you. There's no grace in that. There's no mercy in that. You don't understand the character of the Father. The character of the Father is, I forgive you in the blood of Jesus Christ. The charges are dropped. And we hang on to the stuff we can weigh and measure. And just like in the days of the Pharisees, who had really constructed systems of, you know, you got a Sabbath day's journey. That's all you could journey on the Sabbath. So you go half of it to get there and half of it to get back. So, I mean, and then you're done. I mean, a structure designed to keep you from coming close to breaking the letter of law, but There was no grace in it. There was no mercy in it. There was no demonstration of the character of God. There was no...
It's a faith is faith in God of something you can't do. The faith, you couldn't pay the price for your sin. Right? You couldn't make yourself righteous. He had to do it.
That's right. Self-righteousness is worthless.
He had to do it. And he had to pay the price. It's been always those that when they went and fought against Jericho, something that they couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in faith in the one that could do it.
Mm-hmm.
When they went and when Abraham offered up Isaac, it was the faith in the one that could raise him, Isaac, from the dead. When it was, and you go on, Samson, and his strength to judge the Philistines. It wasn't a faith in what Samson could do, it was a faith in what God could do. And it was always
Hebrews keeps talking about this.
Yeah,
these are not
over.
People that necessarily look good to somebody who's measuring religious adherence. But they're people who believed God. And He imputed to their belief, their faith, righteousness. They plugged in to His righteousness because they believed Him. That's the testimony of Hebrews. That all these guys that didn't look good in the natural, if you're judging with unrighteous judgment, they're all going to look like the three guys up there, criminals up there on the cross. Murderers, philanderers, cheats, in every failing, human failing that's possible, guilty. But not before God.
You look at David. I mean, he was cast out like a vagabond. Like, and he had all the people that he had with him were like the rejects of the system. Of that system that was set. And, Saul was looking after them. They were like the outlaws. Like, you would go and you'd see these, you see these old Western movies, outlaw, wanted, reward, da-da-da. That was David and his crew.
Misfits.
Misfits, that's right. But he was, what was the testimony of the Lord in David's heart? A man after my own heart. They didn't look the part. I'm telling you, they didn't have the three-piece suit standing up in just outstanding apparel and just looking like just the most greatest and righteous person. I mean, don't hear me wrong.
The testimony of
David
Peter.
David got turned to.
The testimony
Lord brought
of
him
Peter
up.
Is a peculiar people. And a royal priesthood is made out of a peculiar people that clearly don't belong here. They're not a part of this world. They're not a part of this world structure. They're not committed to this world. They're strangers here. Because we're different. These things, we should be. If you're not different, there's a problem. But we're only visitors here for a time. We are a peculiar lot. We don't seek to justify ourselves. We seek to please the Lord. Somebody we can't even see. But that's faith. That's what... It's one of the operations of faith. And
it's always something that they can't do. I'm looking at, just kind of looking through my life as the redemption of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bring redemption to anything.
Mm-mm.
I mean, when we go and we, you give me something perfect, I'm going to mess it up. And I can't undo that mess up. But we see the Lord and the mess ups just in my personal life. Nonetheless, you just look in Scripture of the screw ups of the children of Israel. And just only the Lord can redeem these mess ups. It's something outside of our ability. And faith in God has always been, and what He's been able to do has always been something outside of man's ability altogether.
Yeah.
Redeemed by the power of the gospel and by the redemption of his blood and by the love. It's just an amazing thing when you step back and look at it.
Amen. Well, guys, it's about that time. Final words, and then we close it out. Say something. James?
I think that we need to increase our knowledge in the Lord and go out and walk by faith and bring that gospel to others. We need to make sure that our agendas are the Lord's agenda, not our own. And when we mess up or realize that we're not doing what we're supposed to, praise God, ask for forgiveness, and move forward.
And, you know, not as Steve would say, not put up, not accept failure. Not accept failure. Get mad at the enemy. Cast him down. Tread all over him. And trust the Lord. Trust that the Lord is good. Well, anything from you or Shell Anklers? This has been another week right here with the Hour of Truth. We thank you for joining us. We have the Texas service coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern, and then the Arizona at 1, at 2 Eastern. So we thank you for joining us, and hope you'll do it again next time right here on the Eagle Radio Network.